Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Tuesday. Having some fun this morning. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. Hope you're having a fantastic day so far. Sent one lucky fan to Atlanta.
Look
at
you, man.
How about that?
I mean, you're a guy that just gives and gives and gives. Appreciate you.
Too much sometimes.
So, question for you. Say the Titans go 2-15.
Mm-hmm.
They have none more draft pick next year. And you're sitting there with Arch Manning. I know we hate hypotheticals, but the fan base is going to lose their you-know-what.
Well,
and the reason I ask, because the odds are out for the number one overall pick in 2026. What would you do, man?
Are the Titans the favorite to be the number one
overall pick? No, these players are the number one pick.
Oh, gotcha.
Arch Manning's number one.
I mean, for me right now, it's pretty easy what I would do. I would do what many thought they should have done this year. I'd trade out, and next year might be a better draft to trade out of it and get more picks.
Okay. So you'd pass on Arch Manning.
Yes.
By the way, Arch Manning's not done much at Texas.
Yeah, that's – I mean, like, look, I'm not infatuated with him like everybody else is.
And I'm telling you, Arch Manning's not coming out next year.
I don't think so either.
Will you get $6 million to stay another year? I mean, that means he's total. What'd you say, Nick? I think you had the, like, he's already made like $19 million or something. You had a list a few weeks ago.
Yeah, his NIL value, I think, if I remember correctly, was like 6.1 or 6.3 going into this season. So he's made roughly almost $20
million. So he's got two more years.
Yeah.
To do this, right? So is he 23, 24, 25?
I think 26, right?
So he'll be a junior this year. Yeah, yeah.
I'll double check for you.
Yeah, and then why come out? Because you're already making more than 18 quarterbacks doing that. But here are the number one. So the number one picks next year, Arch Manning of Texas. Number two, Drew Aller from Penn State. Are you on board with that?
No. For the number one overall pick?
Yeah. He's at plus 225. Arch is plus 200. Yeah. So he's right on his tail.
Okay.
Third is a guy that I think is good if he's not ruined by his head coach. And that's Garrett Nussmeier at LSU, who's really good.
I think Nussmeier – he might be the Heisman. Like, I would love to see his Heisman odds.
He's also – his father's also the coach for the Saints.
Yeah, and wasn't he on Saban's staff at one time?
I think so. Yeah. So, and then Cade Klubnik from Clemson. It's plus 200.
Jerry's still out on him, but he's pretty good.
Plus 225. Garrett Nussmeier's plus 450. Then it goes all the way to plus 1,800 on Cade Klubnik and T.J. Parker, the edge rusher out of Clemson, by the way. But quarterbacks, those four are at the top.
Hmm. Well, look, you're hoping that the Titans aren't in that position again. But let's all be realistic that there is a pretty good chance that they could be picking in the top 10 again. Like, yeah. I don't – you know, I mean, even if you didn't take Cam and you signed a – you know, a big-name free agent and had more draft picks. Like, I still don't think you're in a position to compete yet. And I think they know that. So, and this draft tells me that they want to develop. That's what they're trying to do. So, you're probably going to pick in the top 10 again. And that was one thing yesterday that did get brought up of the plan and, like, what your conversations with Amy. And they both were like, look, guys, Amy's on board with the plan. She knows what the plan is. She knows she has to be patient. We're going to develop these guys. It's a process. But she's on board and has entrusted us to do this.
Okay. I'm all for it. By the way, did you see the list that somebody in the SEC tweeted out yesterday? There's been an SEC player drafted in every round since 1993.
I believe that.
In the second round in 93, they had no draft choices. Ever since then, there's been a player drafted in every single round of the draft, 32, 33 drafts that's happened.
I believe that.
I mean, that's a fantastic stat.
So, Joe, I have your numbers.
Yeah, pal.
So, if Arch Manning stays all 5 years, he could make $32.9 million. If he stays, you know, his 4 years, 26.3. And then, yeah, I think that's what will happen. He'll get 26.3.
So, he's going to this year. Is he a redshirt sophomore? Going into this year?
I'd assume so.
23, 24, 25. So, yeah, he's got – my gosh. Why come out?
You know, Quinn Ewers, the Texas quarterback, passed up on $8 million to go back to Texas this year. And now he's only getting paid $800,000.
Oh, to Quinn Ewers to go to the draft.
He was going to stay with Texas for $8 million, but he decided to go to the draft for $800,000.
And who ended up taking him?
Dolphins.
So he's to his backup?
Yep.
Essentially?
Yep.
I don't hate that. It's a good offense for him to be in.
It is. But I just think for college football now, I like this. I mean, you got a guy staying 4 years now to play football. I like it. I think it's great.
So, okay, now I'm curious. Let's say,
oh gosh,
let's say the Titans go 5-12. All right? So that's okay. Two more wins than you had this past year. But here's the big difference.
Okay.
You're in games, they're close. Like you're the only ones you're getting, you know, completely blown out are like the Chiefs and, you know, the really, really good teams. But you're showing signs of competitiveness. Ward's showing signs of development. You end up picking 7th next year. Are you going to be able to be patient knowing that you're starting to trend in the right direction and now you're in a position to get another impact player right away? Or is everybody going to flip out and be like, fire everybody? I mean, we know what 2 o'clock is going to be, but like – you know, are you going to be able to be patient?
I think so.
I think a majority of the fan base will be. They'll be the small, you know, portion that's going to be like, fire everybody and, you know.
I'm going to say it again. You're going to hate me for it. Remember, you just got to be better than three other teams.
Well, sure.
Right?
Sure.
That's it. I think so, if you show progress. But I'm also all about throwing Cam Ward to the Wolves.
Sure. I mean, yeah. I mean, I think – and look, he's going to be. We're playing a lot of what-ifs right now. I mean, we got 6 months to talk about this stuff. So, like, let's – you know, we'll play some what-if game. But he's going to start. It's just how much progress is he making, is the rest of the team making, these other draft picks that they brought in. You know, to me, it's not the worst thing in the world – to be bad for another year while showing growth and being competitive.
Yeah.
And then continue to add young talent.
I agree. No, I agree on that. But
no, I mean, look, I would sign me up tomorrow if all of a sudden whatever they got clicks and they go out and they win 12 games and, you know, make a run of the playoffs.
I do like the fact that you have fresh eyes on this team from Borgonzi.
Yeah. Yeah,
who
and I
say.
And I think he's a smart guy.
And he said, look, I've watched this in the league. You know, Ran, as whatever he did in San Francisco, was not watching the league as a whole. He's watching players.
Right.
Pick up players, that player, that player. And I think now you've got a GM who's truly a GM. I mean, he's looking at the entire league and players all together. And now he's had that 5,000-foot view. Now he's come down the ground and said, all right, here's it to work on. Let's let him do his thing.
Here's what I like about him. He's a scout. You know, he's got those chops. Like he just you can tell he knows how to evaluate talent. So that's, you know, that's something that I really like about Borgonzi. Here's the other thing. What I don't want, and this is why I think they've been careful with what they did in free agency, that they didn't try and overspend. The last thing you want is to be in a position like, you know, we've talked about with the Predators of just missing the playoffs and picking mid-pack. Like, you don't want that. Like, if you're in a rebuild, which this team is in, and I think everybody's scared to use that word, you either want to take the big jump and make the playoffs, or you want to still be bad, or you can get a good draft pick, or trade that pick and get multiple draft picks.
Well, I mean, it's a thing where the Titans for years drafted 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th.
Sure.
They didn't get Curse, but you also got terrible Kendall Wright. You got Chance Wormack.
Right.
So you got to make that pick. Although they hit on the – what was LaJuan? Was he 12?
He was
11 or
11th. 9? I think he was 11th.
Okay.
Courtesy to Ian Beck.
By the way, I meant to bring this up earlier. So you know how Facebook does the Facebook memories or whatever?
Yeah.
So yesterday – was the, I guess, 2011 draft. It was Locker, whenever Locker was.
Yeah, 2011.
And I posted, like, Jake Locker, let's go. I'm excited about this pick. And I was like, oh, if you only knew.
I will never forget. It came down late because, and I was at Channel 2, and they're like, you got to go be live somewhere. And I'm like, it's like 9:50, and they want to be live at the top of the show. So we went over, went live in front of the pedestrian bridge, and it was an awful live shot. Jake Locker just gotten drafted, and it was just a nightmare. So I remember that vividly because that's when Cam went one, Gabbert went eight, I think, and then Locker went right after that. 10 or 11, wasn't it right in there?
I think it was 10.
10, yep.
And remember, that was in the middle of the lockout too. Yep. So, like, literally the guys got drafted, and, like, the moment they walk across the stage, they join the PA, and then they're locked out.
Right.
It was, like, the weirdest thing.
Yes.
Munchak had been hired. I don't even think.
I like Munchak.
They hadn't even had free agency yet, right?
They had not.
Yeah.
Because they had to sign Hasselbeck, Matt Hasselbeck, to be the quarterback.
Right.
And then get Locker in there. And look, it was just a – but that team went 9-7.
It was Cam, Von Miller, Marcel Darius, A.J. Green, Patrick Peterson, Julio Jones, Alden Smith. Jake Locker was eighth.
Eighth, okay.
Tyron Smith, Blaine Gabbert was 10th.
Where's J.J. Watt?
11th.
11th, okay.
Do you remember the quarterback that went 12th?
Hold on. Gabbert, Locker, Cam, 12. God, what conference? I like this game a lot.
ACC. So I guess Locker was the second quarterback taken.
Yeah, and then Gabbert, right? Gabbert went 10th?
Yeah.
They love Gabbert. Gabbert.
And then this guy.
I don't remember.
Florida State.
EJ Manuel?
Nope.
Sam Ponder's husband.
Christian Ponder.
Christian Ponder.
Vikings.
Gosh, he lasted, what, a week?
Probably. Mike Pouncey was in that draft by the Dolphins. It was good.
Run that down real quick. Keep going.
So it was Christian Ponder, Nick Fairley, Robert Quinn, Mike Pouncey, Ryan Kerrigan, Nate Solder, Corey Leggett, Prince Amukamara, Adrian Claiborne, Phil Taylor, Anthony Costanzo, Danny Watkins, Cameron Jordan, James Carpenter, Jonathan Baldwin, Jimmy Smith, Mark Ingram, Gabe Kareemi, Muhammad Wilkerson, Cameron Hayward, and then Derek Sherrard.
Where'd Cam Jordan get drafted by? Is he still in the league?
I think so. Saints.
So the Saints had two picks in the first round? Mark Ingram and then that guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Not bad. Not bad. That's not a bad draft.
Ooh. So there's a couple of – I'm looking at ESPN. There's three players that don't have a team logo next to them. Was that the Redskins, maybe?
Who were the picks?
It was Robert Quinn, Ryan Kerrigan, Corey Leggett.
I don't remember.
I don't know.
I'll take – but Julio Jones, that's not a bad little draft.
That was a pretty good draft. Patrick Peterson.
Patrick Peterson just retired.
Yeah. Alden Smith, he was decent.
He was.
Von Miller, obviously. Really
he's
good.
In the Hall of Fame. Before DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, he will be.
Yeah.
A.J. Green.
God, that's jerseys. A good draft.
Yeah, that was a really good draft.
He's selling jerseys now?
Well, no, I mean, that was – didn't he get in trouble for that?
Oh, I don't remember.
Who was the – do you remember who the second round pick was for the Titans that year?
Oh, my gosh, hold on, 2011? Oh, gosh, Akeem Ayers.
Yep.
God, he was terrible. And I felt bad because there was a Titans coach – because remember on draft day, you could go over there and hang out and you could eat in the cafeteria. Titans coach sat down next to me and said, that guy, we got the steal of the draft.
You know what makes me feel.
Akeem Olajuwon? Sure.
What makes me feel so freaking old is like a lot of these guys are starting to retire.
Yeah.
And it's just like.
Starting to? Yeah, they should be gone.
Yeah, some have retired. I mean, you know, locker
room. Cam Hayward's still playing for the Steelers, right? With his brother.
Yeah. The last pick of the second round was a wide receiver. I think a quarterback turned wide receiver out of Kentucky.
Was that the guy that beat Randall Cobb?
Yeah, Randall Cobb.
Remember when Kentucky beat Tennessee with a backup wide receiver walk-on? And then Derek Dooley didn't speak to – he did like a trot, didn't speak to the media for like 55 days. Awful. Tennessee fans – you should feel good. I know we talked a lot of pro, but this list just came out. They ranked the top 16 SEC schools after spring practice after the portal. You're going to be shocked where one team is.
All right, we'll do that coming up next. It's Chase and Big Joe presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel here on this Tuesday. And tomorrow, Join 102.5 The Game and DVD as they broadcast from Ascent Buildings Hiring Event from 11 to 2 in Portland, 214 Fountainhead Road. The hiring fair runs from 9 to 3, and there will be food trucks during the lunch hour. More details at thegamenashville.com/events.
Come on, bro. Let's make a song. Let's drop for him, Rishi.
I play football.
Here we go.
Yeah, football.
I play football.
You ain't got no hobbies outside of that?
I play football.
That's your only hobby?
I want people to know me as football player. Let's search up Cam Wood. Let me see. American football.
Was that Cam and Shador?
Yeah.
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Tuesday.
That's a great video.
And, of course, we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. You can weigh in on anything we're talking about at 615-737-1025. Our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
It is. All right, so real quick, college football, spring practice is wrapped up, everybody, in this list that came out from Saturday Down South, which I like because they really get into it and they do a lot of good things. So this is how they rank SEC football heading into fall camp, 1 through 16 after the portal and everything. Number 16, Dr. Crane, your Bulldogs are 16th. I'm sorry.
It's fair.
All right, can I guess some of these?
Sure.
All right.
15.
15, Vanderbilt.
Kentucky.
Kentucky, okay.
Pretty much Kentucky is a disaster.
Yeah. All right.
14, their coach, once again, is on the hot seat.
Missouri?
No. He lied to Mike Vrabel and John Robinson about a former player of his.
Oh, Arkansas.
Yeah, Sam Pittman. Yeah. They play road trips, Ole Miss, Tennessee, LSU, and Texas. Then they play... They host Notre Dame in non-conference. All right, that's 14. 13. Can you guess 13, Chaser?
That should probably be Vandy.
That is Vanderbilt. Yep. That sure is. 12, which shocked me.
Nice. 12 shocked you. Was this the tease, the one that shocked you?
Yep.
Tennessee?
Tennessee Vols. Just because of Nico leaving and everything else. You got to replace. And they said replacing Dylan Sampson is not talked about enough. And so then he lost James Pierce.
That's probably fair.
Yep. And now people figured that offense out to go on. 11's Mizzou, 10 South Carolina.
Oklahoma.
Auburn's 9. Oklahoma's 8.
Okay.
7, Florida Gators.
Florida. Figured they'd be a little higher.
This one also shocked me. It's not going to make fans happy. Alabama.
Alabama, 6.
You agree with that?
Yeah, right now.
Man, I do. Alabama 6.
So is Ole Miss 5?
Texas A&M.
Texas A&M is 5.
Mm-hmm.
Ole Miss
4.
Don't tell me. So we need 3 more. LSU
comes in at number 2. Chase.
Texas.
Number 1.
So Georgia
coming at number 3.
Interesting.
Despite losing 13 players in the draft, including 3 first-rounders on defense, the Bulldogs are still loaded. Georgia had a couple receivers who might be able to actually catch passes via the portal, and they got Josh McCray, sneaky addition at running back. But pretty much Texas, LSU, and Georgia, which sets up with LSU, the expectations for Brian Kelly. I mean, if you're 2 in this ranking and Brian Kelly, you go 8-4, is there writing on the wall? I mean, is it time?
Yeah. I think so.
I mean, you got a high-level quarterback who's good, who's smart.
I think he made a mistake leaving Notre Dame. I don't think the SEC, I don't know. He just doesn't fit the SEC, in my opinion.
What do we always say, brother?
You go where the money is?
No. Nope.
Follow the money?
Well, that too. What do we always do? Stay one
step ahead of the jailer.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you leave Notre Dame, you get an LSU, you get a 4 to 5 year deal, then you're good to go. Despite all this, I'm still interested to see, you know, if that doesn't work out. But like with Jimbo Fisher, I mean, he's still sitting out there. I mean, he's going to return.
He'll be back. He'll be back.
Has to.
He'll be back.
There, you know, he's got it. Wants to go out and prove that.
And
he's
I tell
coach.
You, I'll go ahead and call my shot right now where he'll be.
Don't say it.
Arkansas.
I thought you were going to say Alabama.
Mm-mm. No. No, I think his high-profile job. Probably those days are probably done, but I think Now, look, he could, if Kelly left LSU, that might could happen.
Could be. He coached there before.
That could finally happen.
I'll call him up and ask. We're so tight.
But I could see an Arkansas, you know, putting some money together. And plus, it won't take as much because, I mean, he's making a buttload from A&M.
Pay you $50,000, let A&M pay the rest. Not
right.
Your fault.
Because it's an offset, right?
Yep, it sure is.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, he could do it. But I could see something like that. Yeah, because Pittman, I don't know how he's lasted this long.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's sneaky in this list,
I think another one, a hot seat, is Hugh Freeze.
They're paying so many coaches, they can't.
I know, but like.
You have to pay him. They're still playing Harsin. Hell, they still might be paying Gus Malzahn.
Yeah, they might be. You might be right.
I mean, Auburn's got to chill with all this at some point to do figure this stuff out. Alabama's there for the taking. So if you could rally around.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Let's say DeBoer flames out this year. He's out after 2 years. Is that when Kiffin makes the move? Do they try and get him then?
Let me ask you this again, Chase. What has Lane Kiffin ever done?
No, Joe.
What's he ever done?
What has half the guys that get these jobs ever done?
I know, but I think he's good at Ole Miss. I think he likes Ole, but he can always. I know at the last second. But why go to that pressure cooker?
I agree. I mean, I think he should. If I'm him, I'm staying in Oxford the rest of my coaching career.
But he's massively overrated. As a guy, he's massively overrated.
Tell me a guy that isn't.
Like, Brian Kelly's been to the playoffs.
Brian Kelly is one of the most he has, but he's overrated.
Well, he's been in the playoffs.
He's been in the playoffs, but he's overrated.
Kiffin's done nothing.
Hugh Freeze, overrated. Brent Venables was one of the most overrated coordinators in college football and finally got a job, and I think that's about done.
It was okay at Clemson. Got the job.
Yeah,
done.
And it was fine at Clemson as a coordinator, but like I don't think he's a great coach, head coach.
And I've always wondered why South Carolina, this goes back a long time.
That now he has surprised me.
I think they were legit one of the top four best football teams at the end of the year last year, South Carolina. I mean, that defense, I mean, they mauled Pavia in their game they played. I mean, Vanderbilt couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
And that linebacker that got drafted by the Bengals, I'd love to have seen him here. That dude's a headhunter. But it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out this fall because I think DeBoer – I'm telling you, fans are restless.
I tell you what.
Tell me, buddy.
If Vanderbilt goes to Tuscaloosa and beats them, he should start packing. Now, look, I think Vandy's going to be better. I think Vandy has shown they can play in this era, and the fact that he got Pavia back, they need they had to do some tweaking, but I'm curious of them if they can put it together two years in a row.
Right.
Which then will raise an interesting question because if you're Clark Lee, you know, you're probably going to get some phone calls.
Can I tell you something?
Sure.
When we come back.
Sure.
So, Eli, you got to stand like this. Vanderbilt football is doing something in 2025, which every team should do. I'm telling you, it's going to help Vanderbilt. I'll tell you what it is.
Okay. We'll discuss that and much more coming up next. It is Chase and Big Joe here on this Tuesday. And speaking of Vandy, baseball is in action against Indiana State. Pregame at 5:45, first pitch at 6. You can also listen on the app and at thegamenashville.com.
It could be on Saturday if Vanderbilt wins. At least.
Goalposts up and down West.
Oh, down Broadway. I'll help carry it down Broadway. I will find a way to get to West End and help carry that goalpost all the way from West End to the Cumberland River.
And I'll hold the panel.
Nobody's going to stop us. You know Freddie O'Connell, the mayor. Chase, call him and tell him, clear the way out of this. Mike Organ knows John Drake, the chief police chief, really well. We'll say back off, chief, for a little bit.
Mike Organ's cat can ride on the goalpost.
Could you imagine taking that goalpost down Broadway? This would be the best thing ever. Oh, my gosh. A lot of things have happened since we did that.
Blast from the past.
But I can't believe, Chase and Big Joe, I can't believe we spoke that into existence.
We did. I remember that.
I don't think we get enough credit for that.
Like that text, like, oh, my God, it's really happening. All right, so I talked before the break, something that Vanderbilt football is doing this year, and I spoke to Clark Lee 2 weeks ago at an event we were together, and I think it's great for all that goes on. Remember last year who they opened with?
No.
Virginia Tech.
Oh, yeah, yeah, overtime. Yeah. That
tough
was a great game. Yeah.
Vanderbilt this year opens against Charleston Southern. And here's why I like this game. Obviously, they're favored to beat them big time. They should beat them pretty well. I mean, Charleston Southern's not going to quit when you come here. But that first game at home, you get to work through everything.
Yep.
First team, second team, special team, punt team, kickoff team, guys where they should be, go through the routine, all that stuff. Because the next two games after that are at Virginia Tech and out South Carolina.
Not easy.
At all. So you get the confidence of that first game, feeling good about yourself. You're not playing at Virginia Tech or South Carolina. Now you go the road. So that's why I like teams who are Power Five teams to play the Group of Five or whatever teams, FCS, just to get that one game under their belt so everything's working on the same page. That way you're not going – like Tennessee opens against Syracuse, right, Dr. Crane? Is that right?
In Atlanta.
Yeah. That's not going to be easy for the Vols.
No.
At all. So I like Vanderbilt's opening of Charleston Southern because you got Virginia Tech out South Carolina. Then you come back for two games, Georgia State, Utah State. Then after that, holy mama, at Bama, LSU at home, Missouri, at Texas, Auburn. But I think Kentucky, and if Tennessee's season implodes, I think they go to Knoxville and beat Tennessee.
I think they're going to go to Tuscaloosa and beat Alabama. I just got to –
it's hard.
It's a hard place to play. But here's the thing that they're doing, and they're doing this in every sport, and I applaud them for it because, you know, obviously things were different. But I never thought that they would play the portal game and the NIL game the way that they're doing. And they had to because in order for them to you know, be invited to the dance, they were going to have to play this game. And they have done a really good job of it. I mean, you have football that found this guy in Diego Pavia. He's able to come back for another year, which is going to bring other guys back. Now, look, that did open up – I think is going to open up a can of worms down the road, but is what it is. I'm glad he's back. And then you got basketball that brought these guys in, baseball a little bit. But they had to, and I think they've done a really good job of playing this. And so if they keep doing it right, you know how this works. It takes, you know, one or two good years for other players to look and go, I like what they're doing there in Nashville. I'll go to Vandy.
Well, Pavia might be there for the next 10 years. He keeps suing the NCAA.
I think just this year.
To going on. But, look, the stadium looks great.
Yep, they've done a really nice job over there. I was there a few weeks ago, and it's coming along.
And Clark's a hell of a coach, man. Yep. I mean, the job last year he did, winning the bowl game, I just think that's starting out at Southern. And if you could knock off
– Vanderbilt Athletics has the most momentum that they have had definitely in a long time, maybe ever.
Listen to us. This is the first time I remember in a long time. We're sitting here talking about Vanderbilt winning – multiple games and having a winning record.
Yeah.
Like last year, like, well, they're 2-10. Alabama comes here, and then Texas comes here. Look, you start Charleston Southern, you knock off Virginia Tech or South, one of those two.
I say 2-1. I have them 4-1 going to Tuscaloosa.
Yep.
And I think Virginia Tech, South Carolina, probably you split those. Being realistic, you split those.
I got right now at first glance 7-5. And okay. I know people don't care about our predictions.
I'll be a little more realistic and say they don't beat Alabama. So 4-2. LSU probably 4-3. I'll give them Missouri 5-3. Texas 5-4. Auburn 6-4. Kentucky 7-4. Tennessee's a toss-up depending on what they are.
Exactly. That's why I said 7-5, benefit of the doubt, because if Tennessee's decent, whatever, because it's at Knoxville. But if Tennessee implodes.
Dude, if this team is – so what'd they end up last year?
7-6.
Right, because of the – so if this team going into a bowl game is, you know, 7-5 or 8-4, like, hell yeah.
Yep.
All day.
And I'm telling you, right now, Vanderbilt, you have to pay up for Clark. Because if you're winning, I'm coming after you. You win multiple back-to-back at Vanderbilt winning seasons.
But here's the difference.
I'm coming to get you.
There is a bit of a difference here.
He's not an ass like Jimmy Frank.
Exactly. And he's from here, and he's a Vandy guy. So you know. Now, look, you have to address, you know, you kind of have to look at what you want in your career and all those things, but I think he would be a different situation than, you know, Jimmy Frank is what I'm saying. Now, look, if Alabama came calling for him to be the head coach, I think that'd be a really hard job for him to turn down.
Right.
But I think he has the opportunity to be very selective because I think he's more in. What's interesting is, look, going into last year, I think it was a safe conversation to say, like, hey, they were going to have to really improve some things or it was going to get difficult. There was going to be some
gonna be
tough
questions.
Right. There was going to be some tough conversations. But now, like, if you put together back-to-back bowl seasons, then yeah, you're in a really good spot. And so if he wants to, you know, go, I mean, if the right job came along, I wouldn't blame him, but at the same time, I think Vanderbilt is his job.
God, left them to beat Texas.
Oh, I think there's an upset, a big upset on this schedule just like last year. So, we'll see. Coming up next, we'll get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays. But before that, it is a very special person's birthday on our team. Happy birthday to David Janes.
No way. No way. Happy sure birthday, is. Bubba.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you, y'all.
That's Mr. Dubin.
I'm sure we'll hear you talking nonstop from 11 to 2, so we'll tune in then. We'll tune in then.
Derek's going to sing to him later and jump out of a cake.
I can't wait to ving and grab you in the hallway and says, enough, knock it off.
I don't think Fingen would do that.
You don't know the dark side of that man. Tell you right now.
This week's Nashville's best deal is Prince's Hot Chicken, the original and iconic hot chicken joint. For a limited time, grab half off $25 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game here on this Tuesday. Happy birthday again to David Janes. It also would have been, I believe, the 74th birthday of Dale Earnhardt.
You are correct.
And that leads us into what day is it and celebrity birthdays. It's brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Inc., above and beyond industry standards. Visit them at JarrettCompaniesInc.com.
All right, gentlemen. First, let's we have Day of Remembrance for all victims of chemical warfare. International Dance Day to follow that. National Peace Rose Day. Not Pete Rose, Peace Rose.
There we go. I caught you, pal.
Thanks. Goodness, this guy. National Rugelach Day. It is a form of a pastry. You can put some form of jelly jam in there, nuts, chocolate, all the above. Looks delicious. It's between a cookie and a pastry.
Just read the days. Okay.
Sorry.
Did you say pasty or pastry?
Pastry.
Okay, Joe. Making sure.
National Shrimp Scampi Day is today.
Love that.
I do like some shrimp scampi. That's good stuff.
Viral Video Day. We Jump We're the World Day. World Wish Day. And to wrap it up, I guess to zip it up, is National Zipper Day.
You're the best.
Always
got to
make sure you got that zipped up.
Yeah. A lot of those get stuck. You don't want that.
Frank,
what?
Frank and Beans?
No, not the Frank and Beans.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, The Office.
No.
No. It's just
something about Mary.
Oh, yeah. Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
How'd you get the beans before the Frank? That's a great line. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. Got to get these within two.
By the way, somebody yesterday on the text line accused me of cheating. I am not cheating.
It is not.
I'm just that damn good.
He's that good.
Yeah, you did well yesterday.
Thank you.
First birthday is what? Birthday, Jerry Seinfeld. What's up with his birthday?
67.
74.
71.
Damn.
You guys on the extreme there. One of the great actors of all time, actor Daniel Day-Lewis.
77.
70.
68. Dr. Crane's on the board of the one. Good job. He's great as Lincoln. Michelle Pfeiffer. Isn't she white gold?
Maybe.
Michelle She's Pfeiffer, that white gold.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's see what we did there. 63.
68.
67. She's beautiful, man. Who else we got here? Eve Plum. Wasn't she one of the Brady Bunch? Was that Marsha?
Like the original?
Yeah. Eve Plum.
73.
78.
67. You guys don't know your... Uma Thurman.
Poison Ivy.
Poison Ivy.
Two Batman villains. also a great character in Pulp Fiction. She is 64.
71.
55. Oh. Good Lord.
I can always tell when Dr. Green doesn't know who these people
are. Oh, you got to get this one. Liz out in Hendersonville. Dwayne Allen of the Oak Ridge Boys.
78.
82.
82 exactly.
Nice.
You look at you, closet Oak Ridge Boy fan. How about 4-0. Let's see who else. Oh, actress Kate Mulgrew. She was Star Trek Voyager.
Yeah.
She's also in Orange is the New Black. And her brother is some councilman here in town.
Captain Janeway is 69.
65. 70. Chaser's on the board. 4-1. Singer Carney Wilson of Wilson Phillips. That's the redhead,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 59.
50.
57. Look, Chaser was down, but he's not out. 4-2. Rapper Master P.
He's been on the station before. He is 57.
56.
55. Dr. Crane's up 5-2. I like that, Dr. Crane. He just came back. You're getting – took the momentum away from him. All right, let's do sports birthdays. Former St. Louis Cardinals quarterback Jim Hart, a legend.
74.
77.
81. Golfer Johnny Miller.
68.
60.
78. Mike Babcock.
63.
67.
62. 5-3. Dr. Crane. For Jared Stillman, Browning Nagel, former Louisville quarterback who beat the tar out of Alabama in the Fiesta Bowl in 1990. Browning Nagel.
58.
59.
57. Chaser battling back. It's 5-4. Andre Agassi.
63.
66.
55. Dang. God Sham God.
Who?
NBA player God Sham God played at Providence.
Well, I don't remember him.
Just his name. People.
57.
Like, 44.
49. Down to the last two. Dr. Crane's up 5-4. Golfer Justin Thomas.
34.
39.
32. We're tied. You were down 4-0. It's tied. Thanks. Our final birthday. Speaking of Vanderbilt football, Jay Cutler. How old is Jay Cutler today? He's down in Leaper's Fork, smoking a cigarette and hanging out.
I'm going to say he is 44.
43.
At the buzzer. Dr. Crane, he's 42 years old. Well done. 6-5.
Thank you very much.
You guys got great matches, man. All right, that's it.
Thank you. That'll do it for us.
We leave the show every day with a message to our guys out there. If you are struggling, going through some things, please reach out and talk to somebody. Talk to us. You can call or text 988 on your cell phone. We say it every day, but you are tremendously loved. And if something happened to you, you'd be tremendously missed. Please know that in your journey. So stay strong. Know that we love you. More importantly, more than anything else in this world, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. And caller number 2 at 615-737-1025 will win a pair of tickets to see Pierce the Veil, a Municipal Auditorium, on Wednesday, June the 4th. Good luck. DVD is next.